Paul, glad that you're with us today. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for having my call. So my wife had a opiate addiction for 10 years, and she had kept it hidden. And that was 5 years ago. She stopped. But a lot of the bad habits around denial and lying lingered pretty heavily for the few years after that. And now that it's about 5 years, still struggle a little bit with telling the truth on, well, not a little. It's on very small issues, just little benign things I think people will call like white lies. And it just, it really puts a strain on the marriage. And I was wondering what a biblical perspective on the matter might be.
Yeah, that really good question. So, Mark, what do you think is going on here?
So what are some of the white lies? What are the insignificant lies that she tells Paul, and how is that challenging for your marriage?
It could be, did you do this? And she'll say, yes, I did. And then maybe I'll find out she didn't. And then she'll have an excuse and kind of not own it. And things that I wouldn't think you would need to lie about. Just very, very minor things. Stuff I would normally deal with like the kids, you know, and not, but you know, I tend to think where, you know, small lies exist, maybe there's larger ones, but I really don't suspect that anymore. So I think it's more of just a coping mechanism to not deal with things sometimes.
Yeah. And you could be right. Did you guys do any work, as a couple after your wife got clean from her opiate addiction?
Not as much as I, no, not much. She was very much like, let's move on. This is over with. I don't want to look back.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah. So I think that's still an important part of recovery that you guys need to do. Because if you don't do that recovery focus work on how that's impacted you as a couple, how that's impacted you as a family, it's really just left it as, well, this was her problem, and now she's over it. And really, you're probably not over it. I mean, this is such a big thing that affects people, affects a family, affects a marriage. And so I would encourage you guys to get into some couples counseling to start to talk about it, because what you're seeing here is something that is similar in addiction, which is lying. But that lying is probably something that was learned way before she got into an addiction. And as you're saying, she just wants to, she's very dismissive. She just wants to move on and say, well, now that's in the past. It's not affecting me anymore. Let's just keep going. But it is affecting her, and it's affecting you, and it's affecting your marriage. So learning to see, well, where did that come from? Oftentimes people who lie, it's a survival skill learned from childhood, because it wasn't safe for them to tell the truth. Because if they told the truth, things got a lot worse from them. There wasn't a lot of grace. There wasn't a lot of forgiveness. And maybe there wasn't a lot of teaching.
Yes.
In there. So I encourage you to get into therapy with a couple, couples therapy with a professional counselor to start to explore some of these things, so that you can start to bring these things out to the surface. The only way to address lies is to bring them out into the light and to talk about it and to see where that comes from.
Yeah.
I agree. You know what I was thinking is, I was going to ask the same question, Paul. I was going to ask what your healing process was. You know, the other thing that's driving the lies is the shame at the core of her experience. When we get into recovery, both the person who has the addiction and the person who is on the receiving end, and that would be you, when we get into recovery, we begin to learn how to stay current with how we are feeling and what we are thinking and how we are behaving. And it's not from a punitive standpoint. It's literally creating the awareness, because addiction keeps us separated from what our reality is. That's the whole point of, you know, we use stuff and things and behaviors to distract us from our reality. And so getting into reality takes some skill, takes some strength. And I mean, that would be the key thing. Now, you know, Chris, you're expert at addiction recovery. I mean, I would love for you to speak to Paul about that.
Yeah, Paul, to echo what Becky was saying, is that your wife is buried in her own shame. And to echo what Mark was saying, is that my guess is that in her childhood, an intolerable or undesirable truth came with pain. So I know.
Yeah, her mother was an alcoholic and it was very hard.
Okay.
She couldn't. Yeah.
That's the, right there. Right there. So that shame then becomes generational as well. She came by right. this very, very honestly. And it's also, but know this, part of the addiction is exactly what you said. I would be highly concerned with this thing called denial. And just like Becky said, denial is a way for us to avoid reality. And here's one of my favorite definitions of addiction. It is a radical commitment to escape reality. But if we're not in reality, we can't be in relationship. We can't be in creativity. We can't be in solving problems. We can't be in life. So, but if addiction is radical commitment to escape reality, then part of, and a huge part of recovery is a radical commitment to reality. It's one of the amazing things that the 12 steps helps us do. I always say this, 12 steps doesn't keep you sober, not using or not acting out. That's what keeps you sober. But the 12 steps help you live sober. And so that's what seems to be missing in this process.
And it sounds like, Paul, that you don't know how to address it other than catching her in the lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then just getting angry.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then your anger buries her further into hiding and shame. And that, again, what Mark was saying, I think you guys getting in front of a couples therapist and one who knows addiction fairly well could really, really help you in this process.
Yeah, and I've heard you say this.
Well, maybe after this call, you can give me your number or how I can.
Yes, we will. We'll sure will.
We'll connect you to somebody for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard you say this before, Chris, that sobriety is not the goal. Sobriety is just moving the stuff out of the way so that we can deal with the problem. And, you know, Paul, your wife, she's had a mother who dealt with life with addiction. And instead of learning to feel, she used addiction to deal. And so she's learned to deal with life in this way. And so there's going to have to be this whole excavating, going back and looking at what has happened to be able to relearn the emotionally healthy way to address these deep feelings.
And it is challenging to get a person who is really kind of suffering and buried underneath shame to engage in the process. Because just know this, it's actually not the behavior. It's not even the lying that they're terrified of. It's the exposure of the self.
Yes.
It's the exposure of the shame or the confirmation of the shame that they're most afraid of. So one way to do this, Paul, is to say, hey, wife, I am really struggling and I know the way that I react to you comes across as critical and controlling, and that's got to hurt. And I don't want to do this anymore. I can't figure my way out. So I would love for us to just kind of get some help so I can be a better husband to you.
Okay.
I would also love for both of them to go to our Life Recovery Conference. That would be a great way to spend the day.
Absolutely. So, yes, beat me to the punch. So, but yes, Becky, the Courage to Change Conference, October 5th. What will he and his wife experience there?
Well, you're going to learn, Paul, about some basic understanding of recovery, but also all the different ways that we heal through understanding the courage that it takes to change. Things like learning about codependency and learning about, you know, the history of the 12 steps. Well, how many people it helped. And I think a lot of times when we're sober, not using, we think that we're actually in recovery. And that's just the beginning, like you just said, Mark. But there's a lot of work ahead. But Paul, there's hope. There's a lot of hope for your marriage.
Ultimately, what oftentimes our addictions are doing is they are a form of attachment that's misaligned with a substance. or misaligned with a behavior. And so, so much of our recovery is becoming healthier relational people, because the very intolerable conditions that we're dealing with inside, our angers and our resentments, our hurts, our pains, and all of that, they're looking for a relational home to land and be comforted and soothed and to be resolved. But because relationships can be scary and out of control and even painful, we resort to a substance or behavior. Now, imagine if we had healthy relationships or healthier relationships where we can resolve some of our angers and resentments, where we can be comforted in our pains, where we can find security in our insecurities, then the drink or the drug or the acting out just makes less sense.
Well, you don't need it anymore.
You don't need
because
it.
You're already finding the relationship. And the thing that I love about about intimacy and marriage for you, Paul, for you and your wife, as Chris was alluding to before, it's the shame underneath that mm-hmm. stops her from addressing this. And so with intimacy and marriage, we're helping each member of the couple look at themselves, look at what they're bringing into the marriage. Because if you can take this honest review of yourself and be able to admit to what your flaws are too, I think there's less of that focus on it's her, she's the one who's had the problem. Mm-hmm. And it becomes easier to admit when you get around others who are admitting too. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability.
Yeah, and it's modeled for you and therefore becomes mm-hmm. less scary. So, Paul, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for seeking a better marriage in a difficult situation. And we're going to cheer you on. I'm going to send you two resources. I'm going to send you the Life Recovery Bible and How We Love.